Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back with our season 39, episode 6 recap. And oh boy, what an episode that was. That was something else. Never would have expected it to go that way coming into the week. I don't think many people would have. I think I had Jason in spot 3 in the power rankings, which this power rankings game, if you're one of our patrons and you're enjoying that, you are enjoying that because it is crazy. It is all over the place. Nobody's running away with it because everybody's just like, nobody had Jason low this week. Nobody. Jason's just like, how does that happen? I am so shocked. I felt so bad for him when it was just, you're not even going to get to vote. You don't even get to vote in the vote that you go home, and you didn't do anything wrong. You're just not going to get to vote. This was a really crazy episode. And I know that some people will complain, oh, you know, with the, she got the block of vote. And this is the first time we really saw this. And, you know, how do we feel about this? I don't even think it's that. I think the strategy that was revolving around this episode was just so good. And yes, that block of vote obviously came into it. But there was so much strategy going on. I mean, I didn't know where Aaron was going to land. I had no idea. And he screwed himself either way. I mean, Aaron, there was no way he was winning in that situation. He was screwing somebody over. The only way he won is if he voted out Elaine and Missy was on board with him. And then the only one whom he makes mad is Elizabeth. But if Missy wasn't on board, he has no way out. And what he did tonight, like, he had no way out. Oh, by the way, hi, Alexa.
Hey, Phil. How's it going?
Yeah, I'm good. Like, that was my minute and a half rant.
I missed the Applebee's week last week, and I'm pretty upset because I was really into it. But anyways, we'll talk about that perhaps in patron podcast later tonight. You should all be patrons. I think Aaron 100% made the right move. The whole time he was like, I think I'm going to switch over to the Vokai team. I was like, that is an awful, awful, awful idea. He pissed off three people who, like, there wasn't a ton of loyalty. He's been living with them for what, like 5 days? Yeah. And they obviously could be cocky because they had the overarching numbers, even though it was tied up in that actual tribal council. I think Aaron 100% did the right thing. I was totally tricked by the edit. I really thought that he was going to flip on Elaine, which was great. And I know a lot of people have been complaining this season about not understanding why certain people went home. And I think the editors had a lot of fun with this episode because they quite literally laid out in a confessional from every single original Lyra member why each of those four Vokais could go home or why they would want them to go home. I thought that was great. I think, was that our first block of vote? Really?
I think that was the first time we've ever had that. I don't think anybody's ever been able to block.
Yeah. Or at least like a successful attempt.
Yeah, I think that's the first time that this has ever like happened in Survivor history. Devin, I don't think that was ever an advantage.
Vote. I remember that.
Yeah, they had the steal vote, which was, they've had that, but they've never had where you just straight up block it. And of course, like it worked out perfectly in this episode because the person who gets it, it's on a 4-4 split. Now, in this situation, because the producers do things ahead of time, this was planted here, and this was one I've said this numerous times. The idol nullifier that only works on David versus Goliath. We saw, what was the other one? We talk about Edge of Extinction. Chris is only going to win. Like, that's the only season that that's going to happen on. Chris had to be that perfect in order for that to happen. And then this, though, this is not just this season that this would have worked, because production knew that it was going to be a Final 15 when this was going to happen, and this was going to possibly get into somebody's hands when there was a 4-4 split. And that's what they were hoping for, because the person who was going to be on the tribe that had the advantage in numbers, who had 8 people. And the block of vote after a swap, if it's a 4-4, which they got really lucky with, that block of vote was planted there so that it would have such a big impact in this initial vote. This is something that really would have never lasted long in the game, I don't think, because no matter what, it was going to the 8-person tribe. And that's planted beforehand, because that is something that they talk about, and they've already determined when these advantages are going to come up.
And I like the block of vote. I thought when Jeff was saying, you know, everyone's leaning like nose to the TV, watching it going down, that's exactly what I was doing. I love those kind of 4-4 split tribal councils. And we've had not exactly 4-4, but we've had a couple of those like total deadlock tribal councils recently. There was Malcolm going home and Game Changers. It just makes it really, really intense. Wendy going home last season. Obviously, those were a little different because they were different tribes. But in an era of Survivor where loyalty is such a moving target, I really liked that everyone stuck to their guns at the end of it. And the original Lyra members had the advantage. And I liked Elaine playing it early. I didn't know if she was supposed to play it. I didn't really know when she was supposed to play it, but I like that she did it in the middle, because it just spooked them. Like, yeah, they had no idea what to do. But then I waffled because I thought Aaron was going to flip, and I thought she just totally screwed herself there. I thought she was going to go home like 6-1 after that. But I loved it. It totally, they just had no idea how to handle it. So I think doing it then instead of doing it at the end was a fantastic idea.
I think they had to do it before they actually went up to vote, because you had to block the person's vote before they went to vote. Right. So you had to announce it.
End of conversation rather
than.
Yeah,
it's like, when Jeff says, like, it's time to vote, and then he's going to go point. That's when you're supposed to do it. She did it a little bit earlier. I mean, just the look on all of their faces when it was, oh my God, it's all over. It's just all, and there's nothing we can do.
Crying.
And one of the best shots that they had tonight was when Jason reached over to like fist bump Aaron, and Aaron was just sitting there with his hands in front of him and didn't do anything.
That was such a tell.
That was when I knew it was over, because before that there'd been, we're good, right? Yeah, of course, we're good. They would have never shown us that. And then like Aaron would have probably fist bumped him had he was actually going to work with Jason and Tommy and all of them. Mm. What is weird about this though is, I like Aaron's move. I think it's the right move. I think it's the move you have to make because you're so down in numbers, but this doesn't really do anything to benefit them. And now Aaron is the one who's screwed, because they felt like they had Aaron. They really did feel like they were close with him. So he's just in a world of hurt here. He's still got no numbers. He's got Missy, but he probably just lost Tommy. That's what it feels like. I mean, because Tommy's one of Tommy's closest allies is now out of the game, and Jason. So,
well, he has. I mean, he's got the numbers on his tribe, and I think
for right now, yeah. But I'm talking when a merge hits. That's my bad. I was looking for.
I guess my not understanding why he would have switched to the Vokai group is he would have just been so on the bottom there. At least I think so. I know he had a good thing going with Tommy, and it was Tommy and Jason, it seemed like. Mm-hmm. I don't know, in my head I was like, why would you go from a really good thing to the bottom of those guys? For what reason? I'm not really sure. I think,
yeah, unless you didn't think you were at the bottom.
Yeah, and as there have been a lot of big moves for the sake of making big moves this season, and I'm really glad that like someone made the logical correct move at this exact moment.
He's
going to go home next week, and it's going to be a whole thing.
Well, I mean, in this season, it's just shown how unpredictable it can be. I mean, our last 3 boots are Chelsea, Tom, and Jason. Yeah. And it's just back to back to back. And how many of them really deserved it? Here we go.
None of them. And Jordan Mays makes a really good comment saying, and Aaron could say, Tommy, I saved your butt from going home. Mm. That's a really good point, because all of them just were so freaked out. I mean, Lauren is crying. They're all just like eulogizing themselves after this. Like Tommy was like, I've been every single one of them did that. And they were just so at the mercy of the Lyro group.
Yeah.
So as much as they're going to be really pissed off early on, but I think if Aaron sells it that way, I think it'll be good.
Now, how funny would it have been, though, had Aaron actually voted for Elaine and like they got all these votes coming and then it's just Elaine as the last one. That would have been insane. I would have jumped through the roof. Not that I would have been excited that Elaine's gone. I'm not happy with either person going home tonight, but yeah, whether it's Elaine or Jason. And we've been saying that a lot this season. It's a really good cast, so you're going to lose good players every time. And, you know, this just keeps going to the pre-merge rankings. Jason going there, I mean, that just brings this up even more because Jason was great. Mm-hmm. And it's tough that one of those two was going to go home. But I love the tension at the end. It was going around from face to face to face to face to face. And you really didn't know who it was going to be because they played up Aaron enough to be somebody who would flip despite the fact that it might not be the right move.
And maybe a lot of people are making good points in the comments. So I want to give them their due credit. I think Jonah Presser said, Aaron lost all respect from the original Vokai. It was the right move, but he didn't have to lie to them over and over and over again. Yeah, I guess to play that out, if Aaron says, no, we're solid, no, we're solid, then your two options are either you deadlock 4-4. This pre-merge group is so insane. You deadlock 4-4 and original Lyra still wins, or you're so deadlocked and then maybe the Vokais break up and come over. Yeah. So that's a really good point that he didn't have to really, really double and triple down on that. And kind of going back to the Vokais just like saying their last words, I thought they were really, I still thought Elaine was going home the whole time. So I was like,
it had that feel.
Are savage.
Yeah, it really did have that feel though. I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh my God, they are playing her so hard. Aaron, you sick son of a, oh my God, you got her. Like, and I really thought it was going to happen. But you know, it is, I think this shows that the Lyra group did get along really well. They made the wrong move with Chelsea. And I will say that nonstop. But I think they did get along really well. And it wasn't that Missy and Aaron didn't like Elaine and Elizabeth. It was, we have no choice and I'm not going to go home for Elaine's sake. And I think that's the right play. And once you get any type of advantage, like we saw Aaron get tonight, you have to do what Aaron did. Now, I think that he should probably have said to Tommy or somebody like, look, you know, I want to work with you guys, but I need to worry about my game going forward. Tommy, I'm going to save you or I'm going to do something. Go find a freaking idol and maybe you can get Elaine out of here if you were that close with them. And I don't, obviously, I'm sitting here playing Monday morning quarterback so hard and I would never do that to anybody. But I just think if you're trying to pretend you're so close with them, he was too confident. And yes, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you.
Yeah.
Doesn't tell them. And now it's very apparent that they all knew that Elaine had that. So now Aaron has to do the damage control. Elaine and Elizabeth don't have to do any damage control. Missy doesn't have to do any damage control. It's only Aaron who has to do damage control.
I think Missy did what Aaron should, quote unquote, should have done. I know like this all turned out well for Aaron, but yeah, we're Monday morning quarterbacking and we're not even playing. Because Missy, when they told her she had the advantage, Missy had no reaction. Mm-hmm. Like, and kind of to the point where I was like, oh crap, like be more excited because you're not showing, like, I thought Missy was going to flip too, but Missy like ditched that group enough that I don't think they're going to be super pissed at her. I mean, Lauren might be pissed at her. I think the two of them probably have a thing going because you saw them chatting at the water well, but Aaron was like deep in, I'm going to flip to you guys. And I think there was that wasn't super necessary unless it was a split second decision, which I'm sure it wasn't.
Well, and which reaction was worse, Missy's reaction or Lauren's reaction, or not Lauren's reaction? Maybe it was just Elizabeth and Elaine's reaction when Lauren was like, so we're doing whatever. And like, they all just stared at her and it was just pure silence. And Lauren's like, was fantastic. Yeah,
Lauren was like, so awkward. Yeah, they had to answer that a lot. They had to answer that a lot quicker. Lauren has facial expressions like no other.
Yeah,
she's,
I love it.
She's so good. Her face when she was sitting out, which I thought she was upset about, but then she was like, thank God I don't have to do this challenge.
Well, she was also saying, thank God she didn't have to go to Island of the Idols. She didn't want to go to Island of the Idols.
Oh, see, I missed that. Yeah. Wait, why did it have to be Elaine over Lauren? Sorry, it's an ambulance.
What do you mean?
Because didn't they both sit? Oh,
no, Elaine sat out at that challenge. That's why Elaine went. That's right, Alexa. You're rusty. It's fine.
No, I'm really rusty. I haven't like commented on an episode in a month.
In a month. Yeah, you only did predictions with me, right? God.
I did. Yeah.
Did one recap. Well, also, why are you drinking from a Nationals cup? They're losing.
Because the Nationals need to win.
We're not a loser podcast.
I'm supposed to be unbiased. I want the Nats to win. Are they still losing? They were losing
1-0. Yeah, it's 1-0. But yeah, I do think All right, so there's a lot of other stuff to dissect here, because this was as good as this episode can be. I'm so happy that this tribe actually did go. I was thinking that that was not going to happen. I kept on saying that this tribe was just going to run through. And as much as it sucks that Jason went home, I do like, for my sole entertainment purposes, what I saw tonight. So much strategizing, so much great stuff. Yeah, also luxury, like, but like so much. There's just so much going into this episode that we wouldn't have gotten had the other tribe gone on to tribal, because that dynamic just doesn't exist of this four versus four. And then on top of that, Elaine being the one who goes over to Island of the Idols, immediately saying she wants to do it, which also, like, Boston Rob needs to stop acting so surprised. Like, stop acting so surprised.
I would have done what Elaine and Elizabeth did.
Yeah, because especially this time too, what was really crazy is, like, the way he approached it, it was, so this is all draining out. You're about to run out of time. So now you have to tell me before the sand runs out whether you're going to take on your challenge or not. And she's like, yeah, I'm going to do it. He's like, well, you don't even know what you're doing. And she's like, in my mind, I'm like, you finished your thought, bro. You finished your thought. Like, you don't get to just, like, use that. And also, here comes the sand. And I have to hope that Boston Rob can finish his sentence before that sand is done.
And I just don't know what situation, like, I'm with Elizabeth, like, she knew what she was getting into. She was facing Boston Rob and Fire Making. Mm. Not a great choice, but whatever. Elaine, it was either do the challenge or don't.
Yeah.
Like, in what situation would you not do it? Like, any of the Island of the Idols challenges that have happened so far, I would have done them.
Yeah. Well, and especially this one. I mean, this was the easiest one. Let's be real here. She just had to do the challenge. And we've heard this so many times. I mean, Kelly Wentworth has said it. When people are doing the Troyzan has said it. When people are doing the challenge, they're so focused, they don't even know that you're
yeah.
there. And that's Elaine dropped it. She almost put it in her pants and then it fell out. I mean, she had so many missteps there and nobody noticed.
Yeah. And that whole time, I guess the three times this has happened now, this seemed like the one where she was going to get caught the most, because they were all right on top of each other. She was waltzing around. Taking your pants off, but they weren't even paying attention.
And the thing is, when you have that table, they're all untying knots on the table. So everybody's looking at the table. Now, Elaine can't get to the table because of the way it's shaped. And it was clear that it could only fit six people around. Mm-hmm. And so she couldn't fit in. So it just kind of looks like she's hovering around the edge. And everybody's focused, staring straight down at the table. They're not looking around at what's behind them. It's not in your peripheral. You're not going to notice that. And you're just going to see hands moving and ropes untying. There's no way you're going to notice that. So, yeah, I thought this was the easiest one. Yes, it takes the biggest risk to actually pull it off, because it's in the middle of a challenge and your entire tribe is right there. But I think it's the easiest one. And she just pulls it off very simply. Good for her. And she used it perfectly. And I love that. I forget who had the confessional. I think it might have been Missy, where it was she went from being our sacrifice to now being our hero. And she has no idea that that's what just happened.
Yeah, it was great. I love idols and challenges. I get so much more entertainment out of that than walking around and finding one. Because it brings the thrill back of finding an idol. There's no thrill to finding an idol anymore.
And I can't wait for the time when somebody's going to get caught. That's going to happen.
Someone's
going to
get caught.
It's going to happen for sure on a season very soon, I think. Like, somebody is going to get caught looking for an idol, because now you start to realize, now you know, if you ever do a challenge where you're, like, purposely being kept in a cage, which is what this challenge was, you can't get out of that cage. There's a reason for it. It's because they want you confined so that somebody can find an idol. It's like you're all on top of it. So, like, you start to notice, like, what am I looking for here? What should I be looking for? Anytime there's a table, if you ever play Survivor, anybody, anytime there's a table and you don't have a clue to an immunity idol, be looking around for other people to be digging underneath that table, because that's where they've always been hidden. They've always been hidden under tables. So if you see a table, be on alert. Even if it's a slide puzzle, just be on alert. Like what happened with Troyzan. Always be looking. Never look away from that table. I don't care if you win. Don't look away.
That's a good piece of advice, Phil. Good call.
That's what I'm here for.
And a great, great sassy Jeff moment. We haven't had one of those in a while. Elaine walking away saying, but I wanted to play Jeff. And he goes, you were already sitting out.
I know.
Just wax her. I loved that. That was great.
Yeah. I do have a problem, though. And I've had this problem numerous times. I've had this problem in the past. Uh-oh. Jeff ripping on Lyro for losing every challenge, but it's not the Lyro tribe.
I know. It annoys me so much. It's such a purple and orange thing. We need new tribe colors.
It bothers me so much because he's like,
it's a totally different combo.
It's a totally different combo. They've only won one challenge the entire season. Okay. This group has actually won zero challenges, Jeff. Thank you very much. Like we need Courtney out there to just be like, Jeffrey, that's wrong. You know, like, come on. Like, I don't know. That just always bothers me when he really leans into that, because maybe my mom and dad sit there and go, oh, wow, they have only won one challenge. But anybody who actually watches Survivor is like, why is Jeff saying this? It's just kind of nonsense. Like
Dean and Karishma lose a lot.
Yeah.
That's like really what you boil it down to.
Yeah. Oh, man. Jamal and Jack are so bad at challenges. They're just absolutely terrible. Notice how they've lost one challenge.
Heaving those balls. I can't believe they had to sit in the cage and still shoot those. Both challenges tonight were scary looking. Those looked really hard.
Yeah. The first one.
Yeah. Challenges this season overall have been fantastic.
Yeah. The first one was where they were shooting the
Astros are up 2-0.
They were shooting the targets down with the thing, but you had to sit on top of the raft thing.
Aaron was the one they were dragging around. That's tough.
But that had to be the shooter, and it made sense because he had so much strength that by the time they got there, he was just going to drill those targets. There was no way he was going to miss.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really liked the second one's concept. I think it was pretty good. And I know that somebody we know had a hand in that challenge. They didn't do the whole thing,
really?
But I know they had a hand in it. So I'm just saying. Yeah, I know. IJS, right? That's it.
That's what Carl says. I didn't know what IJS. He said that once, and I had to Google it because I'm not a millennial.
No, not like Carl is. Carl texts Davey all the time. So
all right. So first challenge, they win the chickens. To which someone, it was either Dan or Tommy, immediately asked which one's the rooster and which one's the hen, which I originally thought was silly, but then found myself Googling. What does a rooster look like versus what does a hen look like?
And
so
the rooster have the, that one. The rooster has
the rooster's got like the rooster's pretty much like the bigger, stronger, hotter version.
Yeah.
Of the hen.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Cause men are bigger, stronger, and hotter. That's
exactly. It makes perfect sense. And then also I texted Phil this, but the running joke of just Dan touching things in ways he shouldn't, it's not restricted to just humans. It's just like wild.
Yeah. I know. That poor chicken is just like flopping around. I mean, also, that was like a pretty graphic chicken murder tonight that we got.
Oh my God. Tommy and Jason's reactions?
Yeah. You just watched a chicken get its head chopped off. I mean,
it must have been butchered because it like the camera lingered on them.
Oh, yeah.
And they looked
Tommy's face was
disturbed.
Yeah, that was great. Not great, but
it was awesome.
I love it. I don't know. I love the chicken reward. You know what I love about this chicken reward, Alexa? Are you ready?
I'm ready. I'm listening.
That no one cares that they got the chickens.
But they got Applebee's last week.
No, but what I'm saying is, I mean, like, they're going to eat them. And we don't have to deal with this freaking storyline of save the chickens, because we see that every season. I'm so happy it's not on this season.
Just murder them.
We got way too much of it in Edge of Extinction. And like, it's Survivor. Eat the damn chickens. I will always wave my finger in your damn face. Eat the chickens.
My only thing with eating the chickens immediately, and I think they probably have a couple, is eggs.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you keep one hen alive.
But I'm just glad that we're not getting the storyline of
the thing.
Can't kill the chicken. We can't do that. Because like that no longer like appeals to me. Not that it really ever was something that appealed to me, because the way I look at it is, if you're playing Survivor, like, you're gonna eat things that are alive. Nobody cares when Angela's eating that slug, okay? Nobody felt bad for the slug. And I felt bad for the slug, but nobody else did.
I couldn't watch that.
Yeah, no, there's a gif of it somewhere. It's pretty unbelievable.
Yeah, it's on a website that will not be mentioned.
Yeah, but like when you sit and you like watch this, like, I'm so happy that we don't have to deal with that. And again, I don't hate chickens. I don't hate animals. I'm just happy that there's going to be a season of Survivor where we don't get 10 minutes dedicated to not eating chickens. Like, that doesn't make me side with you.
And I think also, I mean, there's probably so many side conversations. All the camp. Ty was cute. Oh, yeah. I mean, that was great because Ty made him like a pet. He didn't make the chicken a martyr. He made it a
And it was part of the joke throughout the season. I mean, Julia Jason sitting on that bench saying, as soon as he's gone, we eat Mark. Like, that's fantastic.
It was so funny.
Like, but Wendy's was literally just, I don't eat chicken.
Well, okay. She did. So, yeah, Queen Stangelina was an outwardly a vegetarian, but never like got never kind of involved that with anybody else. Like I and as someone who happily eats a lot of meat, if somebody's gonna murder a chicken, I'm probably just won't be there. Like I don't really want to watch that.
Yeah,
I'll let someone else do it, but I won't make a whole stink about it because I want to eat it. And so I think like Angelina probably has had the best approach of just like, I'm going to be a vegetarian. Everyone knows I am, but I'm just not going to make a thing about it.
Well, because at the end of the day, you're playing a game to win the money and yeah, like
playing a social game.
Yeah. You're playing a social game. And I like, okay. It's like, do you want to like demoralize yourself so you can win a social game? It's like, well, you're going out on an island and you're starving. You don't think like people who are like literally. So I have a friend, I brought this up last year, but I have a friend down at the graduate school I go to who's from Ghana. And we were watching an episode of Survivor the one time and he goes, this is like nothing. This is nothing because like in Ghana, there's like villages that like you like hunt for your food and like you do stuff like that's just like how it goes. And he was like, oh my God, this is like bad for them. Like, I don't get this. And it's just like a way to look at it. Like you're playing Survivor. Like you might have to kill a chicken.
Yeah.
So anyway,
I'll hopefully not. Fun. Yeah. Hopefully I won't kill one, but we'll happily eat one.
Yeah, Alexa will be the person who's sitting like, just kill the damn thing. But also, yeah, I don't want to
murder it and feed me.
Yeah, murder it. I'm going to sit over here. You murder the chicken and feed me.
I don't see the problem with that.
I don't see the problem with it either.
All right, so we talked more about the chickens than I really anticipated us.
Well, I just had to bring up that I liked that. We haven't talked about the other tribe like at all because we didn't see much of the other tribe at all.
No, we didn't, but because they slayed it. But speaking of like getting a good camp life scene, we got a funny one with the chickens. And then we had a really, really interesting one on the Lyro Beach with Jack and Jamal.
That was Lyro.
Yeah, it was Lyro Beach. That was a really cool scene. I'm trying. Cool is like really the wrong adjective. So this is something like we'll have to have a whole conversation about. But that I'm really glad they showed that. I'm sure that there was so much more that could have been shown. But what I really enjoyed, what I really enjoyed about it was just kind of the acceptance from both sides on it. I'm glad they showed the full clip of what exactly was said, like saying do-rag and then having it corrected to buff. And I think getting Jack's immediate, like, I totally messed this up, and then getting both their immediate reactions of Jack totally messing it up and then Jamal saying like he needs a space, he needs a little bit of time. And then they cut to the sunset and then they cut to the both of them talking after dark. And Jamal kind of narrates us through his thought process and what this is like for him. And then Jack coming back to Jack saying, you know, this was a huge learning experience for me. I just thought the way that it was presented was really well done.
I'm trying to figure out. So like, yeah, I agree. I'm trying to figure out what does this mean for Jamal and Jack? Because like, and obviously this was a scene they were going to show no matter what, but we literally saw nothing else from that tribe. And we don't know Jamal and Jack that well. Like we know Jamal a little bit, but we don't know Jamal and Jack that well. And like, it even came out in this conversation where it was, this is my closest ally. This is somebody that I really like and all of that. And so I wonder, what does this mean for the two of them? Are they going to, like, I feel like they're going to continue to work together. I feel like that's something that's going to happen because, I mean, it didn't seem like there were hard feelings by the end of that conversation. I think it was just, you know, having it come up and now everybody's, you know, it's, you discuss it and you move on like humans, like they're like adults and they're mature and they have the conversation and they realize where they're wrong and they move on. And so I think like it was like an interesting scene. My question is, what does this mean for Jamal and Jack, Alexa? Like, what does it mean?
I think they're still pretty tight. I think I freaking forgot that they were in the power trio of them and Molly, because that was not a thing and a million years ago. I think it will, I don't know if, I mean, it'll probably bring them closer, like from a personal standpoint, but I don't think they're going to quote unquote break up, because I think in terms of the way that Lyra's currently laid out, why would they ditch each other, especially after seeing that Jason's gone? Like, why would they go after each other now? And I think Karishma and Dean provide enough, like, kind of ammo to get rid of them.
And Nora is literally trying to get everybody to flip. I mean, Alexa, I thought this was, I thought you were going to be coming back to do a recap on the Nora boot episode.
I would have quit. No, Nora, the first note I took, her idea wasn't that crazy. That was
good. You are brainwashed. You are brainwashed.
Okay,
by Nora.
I know I'm crazy for her, and I know I also really like Jamal. So this is, you know, my two biases just fighting. But Jamal is like, he carries himself so well. Like, he is a leader. He, like, the scene with him and Kelly dancing was so
amazing.
Awesome. It was so cool. Like, he's a likable guy, and I'm glad that this whole villain Jamal thing is over, because I really don't think that was even a thing. But if I'm playing, like, I'm going to really like Jamal, and so therefore I'm probably going to want to get rid of him. And so I think Nora wanting to get rid of Jamal is very much the right idea.
But let me ask you this. Let's say you're sitting on an island and Nora comes up to you and says, this is what I want to do, and you know that you're speaking to Nora. You're going to be like, get away from me. Because I do understand that her logic as well, but Nora does not understand her dynamic in the tribe. And all that this is showing is exactly what, and I know you didn't do the predictions with us, but this is what Brendan was saying. She's so unpredictable. And good players don't want to play with unpredictable. And if she's already coming out saying, let's get rid of Jamal, let's get rid of Jamal, let's get rid of Jamal, you're sitting there on the receiving end of this as Dean, and you're saying, this is great. You want to get rid of Jamal, but also, like, we should maybe try to use this against Nora, because, like, let's get her out of here, because that's a goat that you want to take to the final three. Let's get her out of here ASAP so that you don't get to take her to the final three.
Yeah, you're right. I think in my mind, if those exact words were coming out of anybody else's mouth, everyone else would have been like, oh my God, we need to get rid of Jamal because he said this and that.
Yeah.
But because it came out of Nora's mouth, everyone was like, she's psycho, which.
Yeah, she's just crazy.
It's not that she's not crazy. Like, those, the two things can happen together. I think it has a lot to do with her standing. I think Nora is here for the long. I think Nora's in it for the long haul.
I don't think she is. I still think she's going to end up going home sooner than we think. I really do. I mean, the way that was, think about what we got from that tribe tonight. Think about this. You get Nora doing that and talking to Dean. You get it being her being pretty much called crazy, because then Dean goes and sits down with Jamal and says, she's trying to get rid of you. This is setting something
also
up.
Dean immediately telling Jamal that.
Like, Dean immediately telling Jamal, and Jamal immediately having a bad reaction to it. Then in the conversation that took place between Jamal and Jack, Jamal was seen as the hero here. He's seen as the person who's like, you know, it's like a learning moment for Jack. It's the positive portion of this moment. And Jack was very positive too once he, you know, came around on it. But Jamal's was shown as like, the, you know, he's crying and he's having this like moment of like, you don't understand what all these little things can do to a person and all that. But nothing, they didn't go to tribal. So what we saw tonight was we saw Nora throw Jamal's name under the bus to Dean. Dean tell Jamal, and Jamal get a really positive edit. What that tells me is they're setting up Nora to go home the next time that this tribe goes to tribal council, because Jamal's going to trust Dean more than he's going to trust Nora.
Yeah.
I don't think this is over between the Vokais and Lyros. I think Lyro actually has a chance to come back a little bit here. I know. I like how Alexa can't even just pay attention to me making great points, because she's so distracted by World Series Game 7.
If you're going to slander my girl Nora, then the Nationals need
you're just
going to
zone out.
That's a very good point. I think if they go to tribal council, it's probably between Nora and Karishma at that point. But we don't know where anyone stands. I mean, yeah, because Dean and Kelly have that thing going on too.
Yeah.
And they have this like mutual friend, which is great.
And by winning this first one, you know that a tribe is, or a swap is probably coming. Like, you know, or the merge. You know the merge is coming at final 13.
How many people are left?
7 and 7. You're at 14. So you probably think this is your last vote out, and then it's the merge. Even if I'm on Vokai, I'd probably rather go into the merge with Dean than Nora, because Nora can just cause such a stir because she's so unpredictable.
Yeah.
And you'd still have the numbers over Dean and all of them. And if you're Kelly, you feel like you have a good connection with Dean. So why would you not want to keep Dean? So, yeah, I mean, that's just.
So if Nora makes it to the merge and I'm Lyro, she's a number. I feel like she doesn't really care about the Vokais. And now
I don't think
she's
a number for anybody, though. I think she's too unpredictable.
Yeah. Well, now that she lost Jason, now she's a totally like free agent.
Yeah.
Cause Jason was kind of her guy,
which is so sad for Jason. Jason overcomes the Nora curse and then gets voted out.
I know she's going to be so sad when he goes home.
Why do you think they chose Jason instead of Tommy or instead of Lauren? I mean, I understand why they didn't want to vote out Dan, cause I don't think Dan is big enough of a threat in this game. But what do you think it was about Jason that made them want to get rid of him instead of Tommy or Lauren?
I don't know. I kind of completely forget like what their reasoning for Jason.
They didn't have one because they really kept us in the dark about who was going to get the votes.
I know, but the like the one confessional where they mention each of them, I literally forget all of them. I don't know. I think it's kind of like, why did you get rid of JP? I think Tommy and Aaron had a connection. So I think Aaron's probably thinking, okay, I can go back to Tommy. Lauren and the girls seem to have a thing going on. And or at least some kind of relationship. And I think Dan is whatever. So I think Jason was kind of the one that no one really had an emotional tie to. Like no one, Jason was the guy who didn't have a friend. And,
yeah.
And so I think that's why.
Oh, that's so sad. Poor Jason. Aww, he didn't have any friends.
He needed Jason. Nora.
He needed Nora. You're right. He did. He needed Nora. He didn't have anybody that he immediately bonded with. And that's what it kind of came down to. Even Elaine tonight, she did not have a tight friend from the original tribe that was with her because she was tight with Tom and with Vince and both of them are gone. So she didn't have that tight friend. And that's why her name came up because there's nobody really there to protect you when your name comes up. So that's what we end up seeing there with Jason. I feel for Jason. That's a rough way to go. That's a brutal way. Cause nothing you can do. And his final words were fiery, not his final words, but like when he got voted out and he's walking away, it's like, don't trust Aaron. I love all of you. You're all great.
Yeah,
don't trust
Aaron
him.
Was like, damn it.
Yeah, I know. It's like we already know that, but what are you going to do? And then, Sandra says, suck it up, buttercup, which is exactly what.
So Elaine got the episode title because she said it first.
Yes. Well, Elaine also said busted can of biscuits. She called herself a busted can of biscuits, and that might have been my favorite line ever.
What do you think a busted can of biscuits
well,
is?
So here's what like when you turn you get like the Pillsbury Doughboy.
Oh, yeah, the best.
Those. Yeah, and when you turn it, though, it kind of like pulls out over.
That's Elaine.
I think that's what she's referring to herself. She's saying, like, look at me. Like, I'm just kind of like, I don't have any muscles. Like, I'm just here. I'm a busted can of biscuits. Whatever. You're going to underestimate me. That's fine. That's what she wants. And they are underestimating her because she pulled it off tonight.
Yeah, she crushed it. Also, right. I'm crossing off my notes. Jason said it's all good in the hood here. He said that like 3 minutes into the episode.
He did say that. And then he went home.
So I was like, okay, one of them's going home. I didn't realize it would actually be him.
That's a good point. Well, I didn't think that tribe was going to go to tribal. And then what ended up happening was it was weird because we didn't spend that much time with the Jamal Jack tribe aside from Jamal and Jack. But I still felt like we spent so much more time with them than we did with the other tribe that the other tribe had to go to tribal so that they could get some sort of screen time tonight because they got almost nothing.
Yeah, from what it's just from like last week and this week, it's the tribe that goes to tribal gets all the strategy talk. And this is pre them going to tribal.
Yeah.
And the one that doesn't gets the camp life. Cause last week, Elaine and Missy were wrestling. And I was like, what are they doing? Like it was fun, but they're clearly not going to tribal. I had a feeling they were because I think the previews were talking about like, we're going to split the votes. And that never came up until they lost. So.
Yeah. Well, I think they might have said it early on, like, oh, we have 4 and 4. I'm ready to go to rocks. But then it didn't come up later where they're actually talking about specifically splitting the votes. So I think that was later. But it's always tough. I mean, now we have a reward challenge, immunity challenge, and we have Island of the Idols. That takes up a lot of time. That doesn't give you much time else. And that's why, like, that Jamal and Jack scene was so long. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm just saying it was a very long scene. And it's crazy that was that long. And I still feel like we hopped around to a lot and we got so much great strategy from the other tribe. Mm-hmm. And we still got the Kelly moment. And we still got the Dean moment. And we still got that. So even though that was really long, and then you have these other three segments that are really long, and then you have Tribal Council, which is really long. I still feel like we got, you know, it's been they're doing as much as they can with what they have right now. And I think it's working.
Yeah. And I'm glad that. Like Island of Idols could not have been longer than 5 minutes. That was
really
quick.
They
were in and out. And I think, and I'm glad they did that because it gave more time to the Jack and Jamal thing. Because if we watched 8 minutes of Island of the Idols and we skip over that in 2 minutes, like that's not great.
Yeah. Well, Island of the Idols, though, did you notice that Sandra doesn't do like any confessionals anymore? Like I'm tired of hearing Boston Rob. We're Sandra.
Yeah. It's kind of like, I wish they would just lean. And I know they can't like go back and do this, but it should have just been Boston Rob who was there.
Yeah.
And as somebody who loves Sandra, like I'm wanting her, but I feel like she's so secondary.
So secondary.
I don't know if like she wants that. Like in all the preseason stuff, it's abundantly clear that they wanted Rob and then Sandra came with.
But did you ever notice, like, on all of Sandra's seasons, on the two seasons she won, she's secondary. And I know that people are going to hate me for saying that, but on Sandra's two seasons that she's won, she's like she's barely in the second. She's barely in Heroes versus Villains until the merge.
Yeah.
I mean, she doesn't do anything pre-merge.
She's great. I mean, she's got nothing on the Island of the Idol segments, but she does do more in the
confessional.
I check.
She's
thing.
Hilarious in that. Yeah.
She's
yeah.
so good in that. Like, yeah. You should leave Rob there and just put Sandra there. But their interaction's good.
Well, because like, that's what more of their personalities is. I mean, yeah. Sandra was always good in the moment. That's what we fell in love with her for, was her little in-the-moment quips, the things that were ridiculous. And Boston Rob was always more of confessionals, where he would just, like, he would have these well-thought-out confessionals. Now, like, why are we hearing about them building the shelter? Why do I care? I don't know. I don't know why I care about that.
It's like, what are you guys doing there?
And also,
they had a whole week without anybody.
So you're going to tell me Boston Rob's just over there, like, doing this, like, in his spare time. Like, there's no like, crew out there at all helping him build, like, a ladder and stuff. It's just
I don't know.
Boston
I bet
Rob
he's doing it.
I don't know.
That looked like a house.
I mean, I'm not saying this to be mean, but Boston Rob and Sandra don't look like they've lost much weight since they've gotten out there. So I'm not buying still that they're just chilling on board the Island of the Idols, bored out of their minds.
We forget that they have an abundance of watermelons.
They do. That's true. Also, I didn't remember to say last week on the recap episode, and I really wanted to say it because I said there was a really good moment when they were doing the puzzle. And it's Nora says the bottom is like a watermelon rind. It's like a watermelon rind. And
oh, I totally missed that.
I don't think anybody caught on to that, but I thought it was so funny because, like, why is she thinking of watermelon? Because she just ate watermelon. This season, there's been those little moments like that have just been so quick and snappy, and they've really worked, and it's really, really funny.
Yeah, I feel like I would say, like, half moon or just like circle. I wouldn't say water, like watermelon
rind.
Not the first thing that comes to my mind.
Nationals are winning 3-2.
Nationals are winning?
Yeah, Howie Kendrick just hit a 2-run homer.
Yes, 3-2. Howie Kendrick. Oh my God, go Nats.
I can't believe we're doing this instead of watching game 7. Okay, thanks guys. Become a patron. We'll see everybody later. Goodbye.
Yes. Yeah. I can't. Yeah. No, this is good. We're committed. I've watched too much damn baseball in the past month.
I know. Will would have bailed because he would have had to watch the Warriors play a regular season basketball game. Sorry, Phil. Why can't you just let me do it? Go away, Will.
Who cares? So anyways, go Nats. So let's talk. I know we've talked about him a lot, but we were really, really low on him preseason. And I think people are still question mark on him. How are you liking Aaron? How do you think he's playing? Because I'm really enjoying watching him.
I really like Aaron. Really do. I think he's really good. I think he's playing really, really hard. I think he's playing as smart as he can. I mean, he's trying to keep his avenues open. And I think that's how you have to play Survivor. You have to keep your avenues open as much as you can. And I think he is doing it. Mm-hmm. He's tonight it's going to look bad for him no matter what, but it honestly looks bad for him because he was making such good relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's why it starts to look bad for you at the end of the day, normally that person still ends up getting the votes at a final tribal council type situation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I like him. I like him. I'm curious to see. Yeah. Like if he hits the merge, what's going to happen to Aaron? I don't know.
I don't know. But they seem to really, the Lyros are really tight with him, even though he's at least shown us that he's been wavering quite a bit with this group. He still ends up sticking with them. And yeah. I'm liking him. I think a lot of people subconsciously weren't really feeling him at the beginning because he's so different from the rest of this group. But I find him very refreshing.
Bigger, muscular guy. He's on the wrong side of the numbers. It's like a weird situation where in the first tribal, the first thing we see from him is him being wrong and us being like, oh, well, I don't know how I feel about this guy. I've really turned on him. I think he's really good. I still think he has a chance to win the game. I think he's playing really well. So, yeah, I like Aaron. I like where Aaron's at. So. I don't know. I'm a fan of it. Who would you give MVP to for this week?
Well, let me see who's on my team first.
Oh, yeah. Oh, did I lose somebody tonight? Did I have
Jason?
Can
you tell me? Oh, also, is the eliminator game between me and Vaughn?
That's it. And he picked Elizabeth this week. He did text me and tell me he took Elizabeth. So,
okay. Who the freak is who's on my team? I mean, I think it's an easy Elaine.
Mm-hmm.
I think she picks a challenge. She gets the challenge. She gets 3 votes, but they're all very expected. And she doesn't lose Aaron. Like, I think we were expecting that to happen.
Yeah.
Just looking to confirm if she's on my
You team. Have Jason on your team who just went home. So you're down to 3 people already. You're getting down there with Team Carl to see how many players you have left.
That's
you
not
have 3,
great.
He's got 2. No, that's not great at all.
Yeah. I mean,
especially since you have Dean.
Jamal had a really good episode.
Elizabeth, you know, it's tough.
My girl Elizabeth, loving her.
I feel like it's tough with Elaine because it was all so circumstantial. She just happened to be the one they chose to sit out. It happened to be the week that that person goes to Island of the Idols.
Yeah, but that's the case with everybody.
Yeah, no, I get that. But I'm saying, like, it came from, I don't know. It came from her literally going to Island of the Idols. That's where I think, like, all her MVP came from. So I don't know if I feel like she should be MVP for that, although she did make the right move. I honestly think Aaron might have a good argument at being MVP because he ended up making what I think is the right decision here, and he wasn't the one who ended up having the I don't know, what do you call it? The block of vote.
Block of vote. Yeah. I think it could be Aaron. You know, I could hop on my Elizabeth train because she helped Elaine, but, you know, that's just me being a stan. I think Elaine, the only reason I'm iffy on Aaron is he's going to come back with people pissed off and Elaine is not.
But yeah, true.
He did make the right move, and Elizabeth was always going to make the right move, and Aaron was the one who was kind of a question mark. So I get both of those. I think they're both on Vaughn.
I think it could be either. It's tough. There's nobody really on my team who it can be. Also, I have Nora on my team, and you have three people left.
How did you get Nora?
Because you didn't take her.
Why did I let you do? I took freaking Dean instead of Nora.
I know. So dumb. Oh. So dumb.
I know. Well, don't worry. I took Elizabeth first, which was always the right move.
Always the right move. Yeah, exactly. You took Elizabeth first. I took Tommy first. Tommy didn't have a confessional tonight, which I thought was interesting, considering his name seemed like it was going to come up. He did not have a confessional tonight, and that was a bit shocking to me.
Yeah, no Tommy, no. Well, obviously, I mean, half
yeah,
of
like no Karishma, no. Nope. Which, you know, a lot of the bigger characters from this season didn't get much tonight.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad Karishma had a cool down episode because, as someone who lives on Survivor Reddit, everyone has just been like up her butt. Like, obviously, most, like, it seems like mostly negative, but I think positive and negative. But I'm glad she had a cool down episode because I think she's going to hit like a big growth arc, and I'm kind of sick of everybody just complaining about her. So I'm happy that
That. It's weird, like, when a lot of your big characters all get cool down episodes the same episode
at the same time.
It's really weird, and I wonder if that's like a thing, because Kelly had a cool down episode. Tommy had a cool down episode. A lot of the bigger characters, and sometimes that just kind of means like this might have been like a one-off thing. It just happened to be this is the best content for this week, but maybe these players aren't necessarily going to win. It's what content was needed. I mean, even Missy didn't have that big of an episode, despite being a huge part of it. So
yeah, Missy's a stone cold killer. She just, like, her reaction or lack thereof when they told her that Elaine had that block of vote was, I would have been very scared if I was Elaine or Elizabeth. I know they know her significantly better than I do, but if I saw that reaction, I would have been like, Missy's not on my team. She's not playing with me.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. What else we got?
I don't know. I feel like we went through this so quickly.
I know. We always go through it so quickly because we just cover it. Well, I mean, for as big of moments as there were in this episode, it was like four moments. There were like four things that happened in this episode.
Yeah.
And so much of it revolved around just that 4-4 split. There's not really much else to talk about, I don't feel like.
What was in the preview? Like, nothing.
Oh, really. I didn't actually watch the preview because I was at work and I wanted to leave before my boss asked me to do something else.
Love that. I feel like something happened with Karishma. But I don't know.
She didn't really have much tonight. Oh, see, so I didn't, because I didn't look at that, I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Well, someone tell us what went down there. So we're going to be back with I'm officially back for good now that baseball season is over in like,
whichever way you want to look at it.
Yeah. No, get excited. Robert did a wonderful job. He's actually filling in for Phil next week. Next Wednesday. So this Sunday, we are going to be joined. We're very excited. A little bit late for you East Coasters at 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern time. We are going to be joined by Lauren O'Connell from Survivor Edge of Extinction for our episode 7 predictions power ranking. We're super excited to have her. I think she's excited that it's only going to be the three of us instead of a squad of like 6 people, because usually Lauren's on, we have a ton of people with her. So it's going to be her show and we're super excited. And then,
yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah, and then next week it's going to be me and Robert. So if you guys were sick
of Phil, have fun with that, everybody.
Gonna be great.
And then after that, Alexa and I can do all the recaps together.
Yeah, we're finally going to be back to normal for a little bit. So enjoy that. So, yeah. Right after this, for those of you who are not patrons, for those of you who are $10 patrons, we're really coming down to the last day of the month here, but we're recording our retrospective podcast, which was originally going to be the 10 scariest moments in Survivor because it is Halloween tomorrow. Oh my God, Phil, we didn't wear Halloween stuff.
Oh my God, we blew it.
Oh my God.
Do I have a funny
habit? That was like our best podcast.
We blew it, Alexa. We blew it.
Damn it. Okay, well, tomorrow we're going to dress up because it's Halloween. But tonight, instead of top 10 scariest moments, Phil had the great idea to do the top 5 tricks of Survivor and the top 5 treats.
You can all guess what my number one treat is without me even having to say it. So
I am very excited. I have no idea. But yeah, if you guys want to listen to us be goofballs, become a $10 patron or become a $20 patron. For $5 patrons, we've been doing monthly Q&As. For our $1 patrons, you can join our Facebook group. We're close to like 72 or 73, and we want to do something super exciting if we hit 100. So if you guys are on the fence, try to ask some other patrons because people who are patrons seem really happy. And if you're not
also
happy,
the Wilgle room is for 5, 10, and 20. Alexa. Oh, yeah, I know you haven't actually, you've never actually stepped into the Wilgle room, but
I just feel like, I don't know. I feel like the name is, I don't know. I feel like we got to change the name. I feel like we might get a cease and desist for that one.
I know. Well, Will really wants, I love Will because Will wants to push it, but oh, Will also is the one.
Shell. No, she's a snack.
Yeah, same and thing. When you have a snack, you're treating yourself. But I don't know. Will likes to push that because he can't face the repercussions and he'll call me a baby. And then you'll ask Will to do one thing and like he has to ask somebody permission. He just clams up. He just becomes the biggest baby of all time. So he talks a big game and then doesn't actually follow through. So
love that.
But he is there and we'll be doing something this weekend. He was texting me throughout the episode. I know he was pumped about this one. He thought it was really, really good. So I'll actually make a Facebook thread. I don't know when Will and I are actually going to record it, but I'll actually make a Facebook thread so that you guys could actually ask questions because last week I made it like an hour before we did it. So there you go, Alexa. You could be Steph. I guess you're Patrick Bolton in that situation.
Someone once a while ago said that I looked like Stephanie Valencia, which is fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's pretty attractive. But it's just so random. And I'm probably a foot taller than her. And Phil's gonna be Patrick Bolton. You should be Tommy.
And I'm about a foot shorter than him. I know. Why do I have to be Patrick?
I don't know. You should be Tommy.
All right, Alexa.
All right,
what
I think
else
that's
we have?
It.
Did we say did we forget anything?
I don't think so. I already gave the whole patron spiel. So make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and like us on Facebook. We're at a little over 6,000 subscribers on YouTube, which is super exciting. Download us, give us 5 stars on iTunes and Spotify. And yeah, we'll be back this Sunday at 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern with Lauren O'Connell. We're super excited about that. And I'm excited to be back. And I'm really sad I missed talking about Applebee's, but fret not. I will make sure to shoehorn.
You guys don't have shit for the Applebee's stuff. People are coming. Enough with the Applebee's. There's never so much as enough with the Applebee's.
It's like, it's fun and it's cheesy. And I love Cheesy Survivor.
It's great. It's great. Alexa, is Tommy still going to win? That's all I want to know. Say it out loud.
Queen Kelly.
Oh, okay. Okay.
No. Tommy, I love you. I know you listen to us. Okay. I'm going to leave.
Bye.